Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conversation, and tonight we will have on the show this evening on this episode we have Tim Hart, who is on the line, and so let's go ahead and welcome him. But before that, if you are listening out there, which I know folks are not here on Blog Talk Radio, if you'd like to speak to our host or our guest tonight, you're welcome to call us at 347-945-7428. We'll get you into the show, but let's go ahead and welcome Tim. Thank you very much, Tim, for coming to the show. How are you tonight?
Great, great. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Good to have you on. So it's hard to believe that January 6th was, and probably even more so for yourself, from what your experience is that you're going to tell us about tonight, is, I mean, it's already been over a year since then. I mean, a year and a couple months now, and it's something that they're still talking about. And I have a feeling, closer we get to the primary election in November, I think the Democrats are going to be talking more and more about it to try to swing things their way from this red reckoning that I think is coming this November. But I'd like to start off by just kind of a little background on yourself, Tim, and then how you ended up getting involved and what happened with you down there on January 6th at the Capitol.
All right. Will do. Without further ado, basically, I'm born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. Lived here all my life, and I own a business I have for the last 22 years called I-70 Paintball and Airsoft Fields and Store. And basically been giving the kids a fun, safe place to play for the last 22 years and making it as affordable as I can and just loving life. Although I did get a little discouraged there. Federal government, the way things seemed like they were being run. So I got together with a friend of mine and we started a show on Patriot Soapbox 24/7, which used to be on YouTube. A little too much truth for them on YouTube, I think. So now it's on D Live. But I do a Patriot show every Monday, Wednesday, and every other Friday, 9 p.m. to 11, and just basically kind of expose some of the lies that we've all been conditioned with. So not too far off from what you do here, from the little bit of research that I've done, but just try to expose the hypocrisy and my co-host is Canadian, so we got kind of a multi things, and basically that's what got me into it. And I knew that right after the election, when Trump lost, that it was definitely rigged. There's no way that Biden got that many votes. And I mean, since then, doing research and digging, have found out that there's probably 25 different ways that they cheated throughout the election, from fractional reserve voting to just downright stuff in the ballot box with hell, some of them aren't even good ballots, but they still counted them anyway. And I knew something was wrong. So when January 6th rolled around, I decided it over with my co-host and said, I'm going to go there and video. So I went there pretty much to just document the day. I was armed with a couple GoPros and a bunch of batteries and went there, went to the eclipse, got a hotel room, went to the eclipse the morning of the 6th, and the sound was really bad as far as the speakers. It was reverbing from speaker to speaker, and I told my buddy that I happened to see there. I said, hey, let's just walk down to the Capitol, and we'll just be the first in line. And that's literally what ended up happening. We were just right there in the front, and every 15, 20 minutes, I would just take my GoPro up on a telescoping selfie stick and spin around and take a picture of the crowd building. And it seems like it started filling up and getting a little fuller. Trump was still talking because I still had him on the radio. And the first barricade that I approached was just some fencing and like bike racks. And we were just standing there and was there for probably quite a while. And then I did notice a guy in a suit and tie kind of up in the front row. And I thought, well, that's kind of out of character for a Trump rally, a suit and tie like that. And then a couple minutes later, a guy walks up to that very same spot and splits the barricade, pushes them open. And then the crowd behind it just kind of pushed forward to the next snow fence and barricade. And it was pretty much nowhere to go when there's hundreds of people behind you going forward. So at that point, I felt a little helpless. And then we're kind of smushed up into a smaller area against the snow fence. And the three young Capitol Police people, there was three girls and a guy. And I think they were all under 21. But I'm like, where's your backup? What's going on? And they're like, we don't know. And at that point, I was just worried about them. I'm like, stand back, because if this thing tips over, you don't want to be crushed underneath it, because they were just the sheer amount of people pushing behind me, I just got a little claustrophobic feeling and whatnot. And sure enough, they pushed that second fence over in a few minutes. And point, I got out to the side because I didn't like that feeling. And I stood on the side and let, I don't know, 700-800 people go in front of me. At that time, I just slowly walked up to the next barrier that they were at. About the time I got to that barrier, the cops had retreated again and set up another barrier. And I saw a Getty photographer walking, so I figured, well, I'm with the press also, independent press. So I just walked with him and got up to the basically a corner in the front row. And officer came over, and we were at the top of the stairs, and he's like, don't go back through here. And I'm like, we're not rushing. I'm just here filming. And my buddy goes, we'll block the stairs so nobody gets through here. And he goes, okay, because I'm needed down below. So he goes down below, and I'm videoing at this time. There's maybe a couple people jawing with the officers, but 99% of the people were pretty much peaceful at this time. And I was just videoing the different happenings going on with the crowd and the chants. Then it took a turn for the worse. It seemed like they were shooting mace balls into the middle of the crowd from the top. And shortly after that,
Why did they start shooting mace balls into the crowd?
I think to instigate them, more or less. Right. Let me back up a little bit. A couple minutes before they launched the mace balls, I saw the head guy who was in white, the big muscle guy who was in charge of it, and he came out into the audience. I call it an audience crowd. And went about five or six people deep and had maybe two or three words with these older gentlemen that kind of looked like they were dressed in, they definitely had a plate carrier and stuff like that. They looked like they were a little more like law enforcement type, just due to some of their gear, or ex-military maybe even. Basically, I thought, wow, that was kind of weird. And then he went back. And he talked to his, I believe it was a black lieutenant, and the lieutenant came to the front line and told all the officers, spray mace when we tell you on the radio, only spray mace when we tell you on the radio. And I thought, man, that's weird. You'd think that they would spray mace. If they had a jerk in front of them, they would spray him and it would be over with. But to be on the radio, that didn't really make sense, at least not at that time. So then they shoot a couple mace balls out into the middle of the audience, and I saw an old lady get hit with one, and it kind of ticked me off because the mace balls are, they'll put your eye out in a heartbeat. Me being around the paintball industry, I know what a paintball, especially one that's about as hard as a CD case, the plastic, with a little bit of pepper spray inside it, because that was basically the type they were using. I know how hard that has to hit. They have to crank up the guns quite a bit for it to even break. And if you don't have a mask on, it could definitely, you know, put an eye out. So I was a little upset that they started doing that. And it wasn't a couple seconds later that they lobbed these percussion grenades. But the way they did it is, they lobbed them into the middle of the crowd, and that kind of they kept throwing them in the middle, and that made it a V in the crowd where people tried to flee the middle area they were targeting. And when that happened, they pushed the front of the crowd, pushed a little bit on the police line, because people were packed in tighter together. And that is the time that they started macing everybody at the exact same time. So it was pretty much just to provoke the situation. It was at that point that I saw a yellow smoke grenade go off on the far corner, and I saw that group of gentlemen that he talked to and some others kind of beeline towards that yellow smoke. And I'll be danged if the ruckus didn't start right over there on that far right corner. So I think that was pretty much a setup from that standpoint. And then it was shortly after that, they did another macing and trying to push the crowd back. And they had 5 gallon or about 5 pounds worth of mace in these big fire extinguisher type things. And it was just so thick and everything. But I got maced in the eyes and in the ears, and I just bowed out. That's the first time I've been maced real good. So I was definitely not ready for it. So I peel off and go over to the other side of the building, barely can see, eyes watering like crazy. And I kind of chill out over there. Patriots were handing me water. I mean, there was some nice people. But as I'm kind of over in the casualty area, I look over, and there's some of these people that were dressed in, like, some riot gear and whatnot, like homemade type stuff, or not homemade, but they looked like 3 percenters or something like that. But I don't think they were. Anyway, they were treating their mace with milk. And I thought, who the hell brings milk to a Trump rally unless you were actually planning on doing that? So I guess the milk does help. I don't know. I didn't get any. I didn't ask. I just took some pictures and moved on. And then I went over along the side of the building and just kind of hung out at the side of the building. Felt like I ate some hot wings with my face and whole face and my eyes open. So I was heated up a little bit, not mad, but I mean, just physically the skin burnt and irritated a little bit. So I went through quite a bit of water and got it washed off and was over on the side there. And then I hear a window break and I video around the corner, and it's a guy in all black breaking this window with this board, and some Patriots yell at him, and he runs out towards the crowd, and then he gets tackled, and the Trump supporters have him, and the 6 to 8 police come over, at least 6, and then I think a couple more came, and they stand up the 2 guys. Actually, they just stood up the Trump supporter. And the other guy just scurried off into the crowd, never to be seen again. And they questioned the Trump supporter. And I'm like, whoa, that was – why wouldn't they get the guy that hit and broke the window? So it was – that was another thing now that I look back on it. It was like, damn, that was weird. Well, it wasn't weird. It was just a setup. They were – everybody was in on it but us Trump supporters. We were clueless. At that point, I'm like, I go up to the stairs because I want, there's a crowd forming out over the parking lot area. So I'm like, I'm going to go up to the front of them stairs. I bet that'd make a neat picture. So I go up to the stairs and I take a picture or two, and I'm standing there. And right as I'm standing there, I hear the electronically sealed doors unlock. And I'm about 15 people away from them, and there's no way I could go the other direction at all because everybody was headed through that door, a big mosh pit of human flesh going through that door. Once you got through the door, it was okay. I just went to the side and hung out, but I did not want to be in that building, so I just videoed my time in there, and That building just feels evil. The rotunda is the only place I really went. I did look for one exit and didn't find one, so I just went back to the rotunda, hung out on a bench for about 15, 20 minutes till the crowd died down, and then made my way back out the door. But as I'm walking out the door, I hear this gentleman next to me go, "Some lady just got shot in there." And I go, "What do you mean?" So basically he told me the Ashley Babbitt story as we were walking out of there.
Yeah, and that just takes me off, and nothing's going to happen to that. Nothing's going to happen to that guy who did it either. Not a damn thing.
He'll skate. They always skate, it seems like. We need to start holding them accountable. Now's the time, it seems like. So basically, I got my paper here. They got me for 2 felonies and 4 misdemeanors. Um, 18 USC 23 or 231 civil disorder. They've got me for obstruction of an official proceeding, which we'll get back to that one. Entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds. Disorderly or disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds. Disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. Parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. So basically they threw the book at me there. It seems like it's 5 different trespassing charges, but
yeah.
So I'm currently looking at about 47 years and $750,000 in fines.
That's ridiculous. You get murderers who don't even get that much.
Yeah. I do have a so with the footage we got back, after I left the stairs, I'll finish my day real quick. After I left the stairs, I headed back to my apartment or hotel room. My buddy came in a little bit later, and I'm watching. He stayed on the other side and videoed, and I went on the other side and videoed. And he goes, "It got crazy over there." So I'm watching it on the news. And I didn't even know that all that melee took place because I got sprayed in the eyes so early and had to leave that side. So I had no idea that any of that broke into as big a ruckus as it did. But there's, I mean, we got footage of an old lady in a red coat was there with her older husband, and somebody took a flag and pushed her in the back towards these police officers. And one officer caught her. And then the other officer came over with his baton stick and just cracked her and broke her jaw. And then that started a big ruckus underneath. Yeah. And so there was some bad apples planted there today. That's for sure. So we get back and my buddy's like, "Damn, we got footage." And we started looking at the footage and some of the stuff didn't add up right. Like we had these people wearing their hats funny, like they would wear a stocking cap and then a baseball hat over it, or just didn't look right. Brand new gear that says Trump on it. But we later, when we started looking at the film a little more, we kind of saw where they were grouping together before it all started. So it's pretty interesting, but it was definitely, I'm guessing about 150 Antifa dressed up as Trump supporters that did most of the damage. Personally didn't touch any cops, would never ever touch cops. Didn't break anything. I took an unauthorized tour for a little while and then documented that on film and then left. But it was pretty mellow in there. I even saw the senator from Alaska walked out right in front of me. So I'm thinking, and then she gets on her Twitter 20 minutes later and says how scared and dangerous it was. And I'm like, she walked out right in front of me, man, without a bodyguard or anything. She just walked out. And Lisa Murkowski. And so I put that picture up on 8chan so that he can start debunking some of that stuff. But it was definitely set up from, I don't know, from the high ups, if you ask me. I do have a working theory that there was maybe 10 senators going to object to the state's counts, throw it back to the states and let them recount and see if there was any fraud. And the Nancy Pelosi is in charge of the security at that building, the Capitol, and she refused Trump's 10,000 extra troops. I believe Trump found out about the plot and wanted to send troops so nothing could happen. She refused those so something could happen. It was just pretty orchestrated the way they led us right up the crowd right up the front of the building and whatnot. Now that I look back at it all and can recap, but let's see. So now I get home and my buddy's like, we should make a movie and a documentary explaining it. So he made a trailer and it's at redpillroadshow.com, just all spelled out one word. And it's about a 2-minute trailer. And I played that on my show on a Monday. And on Wednesday, I was arrested by the FBI. So they...
Things that make you say, huh, Tim?
Yeah, and then they wanted my... We need your computer, your laptop, your phones, and some clothing you were wearing that day. And they searched my house for about 4 hours. There was 12 of them. They arrested me at gunpoint. They had... M16s and the whole body armor on and everything. There was an emergency room doctor in the street, down the street in a car in case there was a shootout. They were evidently expecting some shootout or something, which was kind of weird. But so they did kind of want to shoot my dog there for they did seem trigger happy on wanting to kill my dog. So my wife demanded that she open the blind, and she's like, just watch me. I'll go put him out back because they were going to shoot him. And it's a 170-pound Akita. So they didn't want to put up with that, evidently. The guy's beating on the door. I'm in handcuffs in the middle of the yard. It's raining. And he's like, your dog won't calm down. I go, you're beating on the door. So I'm like, let her take him out back. So she took him out back, and then they stormed the house, and I was off to jail. Local cops took me to jail. They're like, they didn't really know what was going on. Hell, they're all my buddies anyway. I know most of them in a small town. And I do work for their pepper ball guns and whatnot. So I've met most of them. So the FBI comes in and asks me for a statement. I just said I was pressed there that day and that I'd like to have a lawyer. And then I went downtown. The FBI dropped me off at the marshal's office. They fingerprinted me and did a quick interview. And I was out the same. I was lucky. I got out the same day. I think it's because I had a history here. My house was paid for and I have a business because they let me out on my own recognizance. So that's basically that. Now I have been going to court via Zoom, and I'm wondering if I can raise enough funds to afford a private representation. Right now I have a court-appointed public defender in D.C., so I'd possibly like to examine those avenues. At the redpillroadshow.com, once you watch that video, down below is my name, and you can click there, and there is a goes to a Give, Send, Go account where I'm currently trying to raise some funds for proper representation, possibly. But other than that, I urge your listeners to watch that video and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I seen it, and I seen where there were, you know, when someone did lob, and you outlined it, you know, lob that grenade into the crowd, and you know, I've got some questions myself, but we do got some callers in here, and first we got Kelly. Thank you very much, Kelly, for coming to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. We're about 70 degrees here in Northern California, and I'm listening, and I'm like, wow. I got a few questions, and then I'm sure other people have suggested certain suspicions, but I want to get to them later. But so you were pressed, you were at the door, you heard the electronic door unlock. And by the way, thanks for coming on the show and just sharing your difficulties here. So you were at the door, you heard the electronic door lock, so it opened up, and then there were people behind you that were, would you say they were pushing you, and it was just a thing that happened where people were pushed into the building?
Yeah.
Did I hear you right?
I don't think I could have gone any other direction but in. It was just
so you didn't have much
congested.
Of a choice.
No, not really. That's why I kind of had a bad feeling as soon as I got in. And then I immediately tried to go back out, but it was a no-brainer because they were getting peeled in that door. Basically, I'm at that door. I don't know if the people have seen the clip where the guy walks up to the door and they look at the camera system and then they point at the door and then somebody in the control room unlocks it because those doors are electronically sealed, so they have to be released at certain locations.
Wow. And it's just like if you got put in a pipe and water's flowing, if you will, you don't have much control. And so you're in the building. How long would you say you were in the building?
Time is weird. I would say maybe 20 minutes, but I don't know. Time was kind of weird with the loud noises and the because the smoke alarms were going off. Although there was no smoke, it was just from the CS spray. But not super long that I sat down on a bench and waited till I saw a little bit of let up, and then I just kind of made my way toward the door and squeezed out. But I didn't really time it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd
so
say
for
under
a number of minutes.
Half hour.
Okay, so under half an hour. So you sat down on a bench as people are still pouring in, right? So finally when there was an opening, you got out. Is that kind of what happened?
Pretty much.
So even if you would have wanted to get out, you know, a good
Which
defense attorney would, yeah. You wanted to get out. You didn't want to be in there. You got pushed in there. And then, say, 20 minutes, you sat on a bench waiting. Then the opportunity came and you left. And then you went back to your hotel room. And then you went through this arrest in 40-some years plus a huge fine they're threatening. It looks like political theater to me. Have you studied the Kent State riot where the National Guard shot a bunch of college students?
No, but being born and raised in Ohio, I've heard plenty about it.
Oh, okay, because I remember hearing this, and you might want to check. The infiltrators, well, there's a story down in Southern California, the milk police. A farmer was bringing unpasteurized milk to a farmer's market and selling it. And there was a couple of FBI agents that infiltrated, gained his trust. He got arrested. And then the people testifying, he thought they were his friends. That was an interesting story. The FBI comes in and plants and sets things up to turn everyday citizens into criminals. So then there was more recently, the Michigan, those knuckleheads who tried to arrest the governor, they were claiming, and I heard this on public radio, which I rarely ever listen to, it just happened in the news, but they said that the defendants are claiming that there's FBI infiltrators trying to convince the team to blow up a bridge. And then that wildlife refuge up in Oregon, that they overtook the building, you know? Well, the FBI people left. So you have this... you have FBI infiltrating and motivating people to do things combined with the socialist tactics of, like with Kent State, for those who may not be familiar, some people, they were basically communists. They erected a rope, and curious students, just curious, are walking back and forth, minding their own business, their own day, whatever. And, oh, what's this? And a bunch of students got behind the rope. They were innocent. And then a bunch of communists get behind those students, and it was like at the count of three, they dropped the rope, and people in the back pushed the crowd towards the National Guard. The National Guard opened fire. So I am highly, highly suspicious this is an Antifa FBI press job to prevent Trump from ever winning again. I mean, this is – are you familiar with these tactics that the communists do?
Yeah, I would say you pretty much nailed it there. I think the FBI's sole mission is to cover up crimes for the New World Order and the Illuminati. I don't think they solve much that they don't actually start. That's just a guess.
So they weaponized the FBI against patriots. Like many years ago, it was 2012, the Obama administration was using the IRS to go after tax-exempt or 501c3 organizations. You know, the Patriot parties, whatever, Tea Parties. And they were weaponizing the Tea Party to go after these people.
We had Justin Bennett Thomas on here who's talking about that those years ago.
Yeah, so the FBI is not doing their job as far as justice sometimes. Sometimes they're not. And they're weaponizing to go against political opposition. And so I'm glad you're familiar with that, because there's got to be some people that are ex or retired FBI that would explain very well to a jury, we would do this on a regular basis. In some states it's illegal to do this, but for whatever reason they did it. Have you had a hearing? Have you seen the grand jury indictment?
Yeah, I've got some discovery. I believe that was in my discovery.
So in your discovery, you got back the actual indictment.
Yeah, the grand jury stuff.
All right, well, I happen to publish a book on the grand jury, but if you get a good attorney, and the grand jury was not composed of a cross-section of the federal district, that's grounds for dismissal. Boom, done. You won't have to go to trial. Roger Roots told me that. He's a professor of law, and he also wrote about the grand jury. So that's one thing. Of course, you go through the testimony and the transcripts, et cetera, on that part of it. Eventually, you have, if it continues to go forward, you might be fortunate to have a juror that knows about jury nullification on the Pettit jury or trial jury. And all it takes is one to say not guilty. Now, regarding a federal public defender, I'm going to tell you point blank, run from those. Get the money, whatever it takes. I mean, it would be bummer for you to have to mortgage your house, but there's a guy named Dan Smith, and he was selling MMS, Mineral Miracle Supplement, which is sodium chloride, and it does a lot of good for a lot of people. The FDA sent him a letter to stop, and he was in the process of stopping and other stuff, but and working with the FDA, and that's the protocol. Well, they wanted to make a example out of him because this is super cheap, and it solves a lot of problems, even malaria, et cetera. Well, they put him in jail. He got convicted for 2 years, and his public defender, this is what the public defender said. The defense. and most of his time was on house arrest. But obviously MMS and other natural supplements, this is business competition against Big Pharma. They made an example out of him, talked to him several times. And so it was shocking. And the paralegal that was helping him, the paralegal told him, you got to say objection. We are putting up a defense. No, he didn't do that because he was trusting in the public defender. So if there is something very afoul, very afoot, and the judge assigns you a public defender who's going to say, we are not putting up a defense, you're toast. I mean, that's what happened to Daniel Smith. Yeah, so you've got to have a private attorney.
I'll work on that. Hey, thanks for calling. I know he wanted to get to some other callers, but, hey, thanks for calling. Enjoy your weather.
Yeah, and I do. I have Bill from Indiana on, and we'll bring things back around for you, Kelly, for the roundtable discussion. But let's go ahead and bring in Bill. Thank you very much, Bill, for coming to the show. How are you?
Hey, Rob. Good. Hey, Tim. Glad to hear your story. I don't have a whole lot with health yet. I mean, to me, everybody knows, we all know what's going on. We all know the swamp. The swamp was corrupted. And when Trump came in, he was talking about, you know, he's going to run the country like a business. And to do that, you got to cut money and all these different expenditures. And they know that, you know, the swamp's been, they've been laundering money from our taxes for forever. But anyhow, you know, I know somebody who was there, an ex-cop, I can't say who, and they were there, and they seen those buses that, you know, they say all of us are conspiracy theorists about, but person seen those four buses and seen they were dressed as Trump supporters, and they pulled up and they opened the barricades and let them go to the front. I mean, that kind of right there would say, hey, yeah, this is obviously a Pelosi setup to, you know, they knew Trump supporters weren't going to just bum rush the gates and go right on in unless somebody broke in first and got it going. And then, like you say, when they start shooting the pepper spray and all that kind of stuff to get it hyped up even more. So that right there tells me that, you know, that's what happened. But on the topic of, they keep saying insurrection, and what I'd like to know is, we have every legal right, according to the Constitution, that if our government is corrupted and under attack from enemies, foreign or domestic, we have the right to overthrow that government. I mean, that's law. And yet they keep saying it's an insurrection, and that it was just like the Trump terrorist. However, our sitting president did nothing wrong. He was under all kind of false accusations, and he was under attack. So why is nobody saying, hey, wait a minute, these people had, if it was an attack, these people did have the right to go in and attack, because everybody that was in that Capitol building was a bunch of crooked leftists who are more worried about getting exposed. And you got to face it, if the government gets found out how much money they've laundered and the swamp gets truly exposed, people aren't going to go to prison. The people would be out to hang everybody who's in the swamp. So they're fighting, literally fighting for their lives, because they know if Trump gets back in and starts exposing the swamp, you know, they're done.
Yeah, why do you think they tried to outlaw lynching now in the 2020s?
Yeah.
They want to outlaw lynching. They've got a bad vibe.
Well, exactly. And look now, they're pushing more than ever to take people's guns. You know, that's a socialist, communist pact and all that. But it's also because they know their gooses are cooked. And the thing is, just like this stuff with Biden's boy, you know, there's more truth to the Ukraine deal than just plain flat out Putin deciding to take Russia back. It's Biden and his son were deep into that.
Yeah, no,
he
went over. He went after biolabs.
Yeah, and so it's the same thing. It's all still all the swamp. You know, it's all about the greed and the money, and they know, just like this whole deal, you know, call me conspiracy theorist, but Epstein didn't kill himself. And Epstein
I agree with that.
Yeah, he made a threat. He was going to expose a lot of the people in the government. If one goes down, another goes down, another, then they all go down. And then, like I said, there would be a public lynching type thing. So, it's, you know, I really admire you fighting this. And if I were you, I still wouldn't trust a public defender because getting paid by the government through the court system.
Yeah.
But still, he's getting paid by the government. And I said, how, you know, this is, he cannot possibly represent me because he's being paid by the government. You know, I don't know if that would help at all or not, but yeah,
I agree.
I mean, so I don't know how you can fight the legal matter. I'm not a lawyer or nothing like that. I'm just, you know, a Christian guy who sees things a little different. And then, like I said, and after hearing that stuff, and then you kind of put two and two together, and you watch people, and you can learn from things that they do that exposes them. I mean, I said, look at Pelosi. Look at Pelosi, how she's acted through the whole, you know, when Trump had a State of the Union, you know, the ripping up of the papers and did everything possible to make, you know, to make him look stupid. And that's what they're fighting for now, to keep him from becoming president again, because they know he gets in again, the radical right, you know, that we're all going to be, we're going to be out for blood to see, you know, these crooked government people pay. So, like I said, that's about all I have. I mean, just keep up the good fight, and you know, we'll be praying for you and all the others, because, you know, everybody with a soul knows this is it's a crooked government greed scandal, and they got found out, and little by little, the bad part is they're so dumb and they're hiding things. They're going to expose themselves. It's just going to take time. But how many people like you have to suffer in the meantime?
Yeah, I'd definitely take a pardon if Trump got back in.
Yeah.
I already mentioned that at one of his rallies. So that's my shining hope. Hey,
there's a whole bunch of us out there who have signed a petition for you. So,
when I mentioned that I had video on my show, I get a letter or an email from Alexandra Pelosi. Says she works at HBO, and she wants to do a documentary about January Sixers and would like maybe see my footage and go from there. Now, that's one email, and then she sent me her cell phone number in another email a couple days later. I refuse to answer both of them, but that's like not even 1 degree of separation. That's like a half a degree.
Yeah, I mean,
her mom's the one that. Oh, you don't. You don't trust her at all.
No.
But I'm just saying it's pretty damn funny that her mom is in charge of security. I got video that shows crappy security, and then her daughter emails me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and like I said, she was in charge of security, and then she denied it.
What's the odds of that one?
Yeah. Well, you know, she denied the security because the more security she would have there, it'd be harder for them to keep them all in the same loop that, hey, let's let some of these people get through.
Yeah, it would have never happened.
Yeah, the crooked ones would be like, okay, we're going to let these ones go through, but we got to let all the other cops know. So, you know, and they know there'd be too many others out there who'd be like, hey, that's not right. That's not right. I signed up to do the right thing, and it would expose them. They're exposing themselves, and they don't even realize that they're too stupid. And you know, it just amazes me how it's even gone this far. So, yeah.
I agree. I got about 8 more minutes. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for your story. And like I said, you got a bunch of us who have petitioned for you. Just Give the word.
Care.
Yeah, with those 8 minutes, Tim, we certainly appreciate it. You know, we'd certainly like to have you back on the show. Tell us a little bit, about what you have going on next, rebooting your show and getting that information out. But, I mean, I think that in the right hands, the information that you did document, could certainly do some good in exposing. I mean, of course, that's one of the reasons why you're in a position that you're in, because you're going to be exposing this stuff. So, if you want to spend the last 7 minutes, talk about that or, whatever else you want to bring up before you have to go, go ahead.
All righty, will do. Basically, I'll repeat the website. There is www.redpillroadshow.com, just like it sounds, .com. And then down below that is the link. If you press my name, we'll get you to the donation page. But right now, I am checking in to a couple different legal avenues. I did check for lawyers in the beginning, and it was $75,000 for the cheapest one and $100,000 for the most expensive one. So the price is a little crazy. But I am looking around for, pro bono type stuff from maybe some constitutional lawyers or something. I'm not too proud. I just don't like to ask for money because it's just not my style. But I guess God makes you face the things you're scared of. And my thing is public speaking and asking others for money. So now I'm doing both. I've been going to some local Tea Party events. I went and spoke, told my story, and I've been kind of going to a few of them and some Republican events and just getting the word out there. Something don't smell right up in D.C. Most people know, they just don't put two and two together. And I try to red pill people 3 days a week. I've been doing it for 4 years, ever since Q started dropping on 8kun and – or 8chan, sorry. And I do a show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at dlive.tv/PSB, Patriot Soapbox, and just try to dig, find the right stories, and bring the truth to the people, because the normal media establishments are failing miserably at their job of providing truth to the people. So it's up to independents like us to make sure that the truth doesn't fall on deaf ears, because there's no one out there to say it.
Yeah, that's what we try to do here on the show, Tim, is put information out to the grassroots that they won't hear in a lot of other places.
Yep. Let's see. Basically, I think that we need to wake up to the corporation that is bankrupt, that's running our country, and get back to the republic. And Trump has done that in a bunch of ways, I believe. I'm not even sure if Biden will make his full term. If it seems like if this voter fraud starts coming out, the January 6th thing is going to be that'll kind of fade away real quick. Once we find out there is election fraud, I do work with America Project, and I know that's Patrick Byrne and General Flynn, and they have been working hard to expose the voter fraud and whatnot. Mike Lindell also. I think it's coming. I think TruthSocial.com will be a good site to kind of take over the Twitter sphere and get truth out there that you're not getting banned by posting. But I urge everybody to try to check out Truth Social. You can get in line now on an iPhone, but I don't believe it's out for desktop or Android just yet. I think that's coming in about a month.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I don't have an iPhone. But
yeah, it'll be coming. And then let's see what else. I basically just take one day at a time, try to help everybody out that I can. This country could be run so much better if they didn't steal all the money and waste it. It just makes me sick because there's plenty of room for the homeless and the mentally ill. They basically, what they did here in Ohio was they shut all the mental institutions and pushed everybody out on the street. So this has all been designed and planned from years ago, and it's just a little more, a little more, a little more each time. We know COVID was just there to force mail-in voting so they could steal the election. So
yep.
I think all
yeah,
that'll be
had,
out in the near future.
Yeah, last week, or a couple of weeks ago, rather, we had the gentleman from Arizona on. He's running for Congress, Josh Barnett. He was also working on, you know, the Arizona vote count as well, the audit on the Arizona vote count. But he's running for he's trying to get on the ballot for Arizona for Congress.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, there's definitely – they cheated in five states for sure. And that was the big ones that they needed to take. And hopefully it comes out, because I don't think – I don't know. I kind of it seems like we're watching how bad they can be, because it just doesn't get any worse. And then they're like, hold my beer. And it's just like a competition.
And I think there's been, yeah, no, I mean, I think there's been some tests to see how it worked on a more local level. Like when you're looking at Matt Bevin in Kentucky, we've had him on the program, you know, as well when he's running for governor. But for his reelection campaign, I've seen video where you're literally seeing votes are swapped. And the Republicans won pretty convincingly, during that voting year. And he was like one of the only Republicans not to win reelection or to get elected. So it's like, wait a minute, everyone else, all these other Republicans get elected in Kentucky, yet Matt Bevin didn't get reelected. So it's kind of hard to believe. I know they wanted to get rid of him, and I think that might have been a test of, you know, some of their programs to try to get it done. For the national stage.
They definitely try to get rid of the squeaky wheel, that's for sure. They need to – we need to have term limits on everything so they can stay the hell out of there.
Yeah, I think we're done with the career politicians. I mean, gosh, look how long, you know, people like Pelosi's been in there.
Yeah,
well, I know you got it's almost about the top of the hour, and if you got your own program to go to, we certainly appreciate you coming in.
I'd love to come back.
Yeah, certainly, and then good luck with your endeavors,
back.
And hopefully you can get some more, because I know you're like at 10% of what your goal is, so hopefully some people will get out there and, you know, and give you a hand.
All righty. Hey, thank you, and just everybody keep the faith. There's more of us than there are of them. And it just keeps getting more exposed every day.
Thank
so,
you,
hey,
man.
Thank
keep
you on that out. Note. God bless.
God
you
bless
too.
You
take
too.
Care.
Thanks.
Thank you. And, yes, if I check out the website, they're looking at a little construction there on it, but that is the redpillshow.com. So we're certainly appreciate him having him on. We are working on having a gentleman who's a writer for The Blaze. I'm sure you are familiar with that publication. We're looking to have him on in a week or so and onto the program. And, of course, you know, still, you know, reaching out to other people to, you know, spend some time here with us. But Kelly, you know, let's go ahead and bring things back to you. And if you like, Bill, we can bring those things around if you want to make some other comments on Tim here. And also, as kind of a note, is there is the trial for the Cowboys for Trump founder. Looks like that's coming up soon. I got an article here. It's a brief article. I won't get into it right now. But you can find that at the website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And you could go to the Bard Logic newsroom to, you know, see the article, and I'll read that later. But go ahead, Kelly. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Was that redpillroadshow.com? What was his website?
It is the redpillroadshow.com, yes.
Okay, roadshow.com. Okay. Wow, that'll be interesting to watch some of his videos. Why is this happening? I mean, this is terrible. Looks like a frame job, a well-orchestrated, well-planned frame job. It certainly stopped Congress from recounting the votes in several states. When you get people, when the wrong people get into power, when people use trickery to get into power, then they get into power, you can't do an investigation. It's like California, their election system is not good. How do you get the California Democratic State House to change something when it's very possible they are benefiting from it greatly? So how do you change things when the bad people got into power and they're not going to be fair and they're going to weaponize the government for political persecution? This is really, I mean, we're lucky we have elections every now and then, but if we have elections that are being manipulated and fraudulent elections, it's frustrating. I have a friend, he's a liberal, and he's bought the entire narrative of the January 6th event. He's bought it completely as a, oh, those Trump people, they're crazy, they're nuts. Trump told him. No, Trump didn't tell him that. Man, we've been friends since college, and I like the guy, and we like each other. But it's like he absolutely bought the narrative that was set up, absolutely bought it, and he's not thinking with facts, he's thinking with emotions, because don't you know Trump's a racist? Or that's what they keep saying. And so facts are gone. He would not even entertain the possibility that something smells fishy here. And it really bothers me. And so I can see, and I've got other liberal friends that will buy this stuff in a heartbeat, in an instant. Whoever did these studies, because they, the powers that be, the evil people, they hire PhDs. They've done all these studies. They looked at the data from what the Nazis gathered in the concentration camps. They have and really fine-tune what people will do and what they won't, what people will believe, what won't, what necessary minimum threshold is necessary to get people to believe a narrative that they're pushing and or creating. And so it's that was a well-orchestrated, well-planned thing to from what he just told us. You take the blockades down, you open the electronic doors. Somebody makes a signal to a camera, then they open electronic doors. People, like it was in Kent State, from behind that are Antifa, they push everybody in. And the narrative is, oh, Trump is causing an insurrection. No, he didn't. But it's frightening that people actually will buy this. So spending the time looking at the facts. So what's your thoughts or any other callers calling in? I was curious what people's thoughts are about this.
Well, since we got our call with Bill, Bill, did you want to chime in on that or have any statements on that?
He's exactly right. I mean, the whole fact is the corruption in the government has been there for a long, long time, and you get there. You know, you get the politicians and they get used to bringing home their regular government pay. Some of them learn how to swindle and get other pay. And then what happens, it's just humanity. They get used to this much money, then they want more. And then family, then they give to their family, their kids, just like little Hunter. You know, they get used to getting spoiled. Well, here, why don't you go here and here and here, and you can work for Daddy. And it's gone to the government like that forever. Well, then you got people like Pelosi. You know, they push for this, you know, here, let's do this construction bill for this whatever's going on. Well, come to find out her husband owns stock or owns a big construction company. There's more money laundered. It's how it's been forever. And like I said earlier, Trump said a long, long time ago that if he was ever needed to run for president, that he would. He didn't want to, but he knew what was going on with the money. He's been around all the big wig government and celebrities, and they're all intertwined because it's all about the greed and the money and power. And so he had enough. He knew the people had enough, and he was going up the swamp. And now it's beyond the fact that, well, if one gets in trouble, we'll just send that one to jail. And, well, what about that person's family and their friends? Well, they get in trouble too. And then it just starts leaking across to where if I had $1 million to bet, I would bet $1,001,000 that the 95% of the government is corrupt. They've been laundering money. They get used to all this extra money. They, just like I said, with Daddy Biden and little Hunter, it just seems awful funny. Hunter and his laptop, all that was all supposed to be lies. He was over there dealing and money laundering from Ukraine, and who knows what other things they were doing. And then when it starts to get exposed, suddenly the laptop disappears, and suddenly, you know, Biden, he had a meeting with Putin. Next thing you know, Putin wants that part of Russia back. It's just too fishy. I bet they're trying to cover something out that they know would expose our government and all their friends and buddies. So it's bleeding from one thing to another, and soon it's going to run out, and they're going to be exposed, and they know their lives are on the line. It all boils down to that. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a big political genius or nothing like that, but just the common man who happens to pay attention, and you see how these people are acting, it shows, you know, they're trying to cover something up because they're afraid, and that's what it all boils down to. And everybody like Tim, you know, everybody like Tim who is a little step in their way, you know, a little they're going to make examples of and try to keep the fear going. So that's what it is. And what can we do about it? Unless you get 95% of the population to say we've had enough and to actually have the guts to stand up and fight, there's nothing, ain't a darn thing going to happen. We're going to be made out to be conspiracy theorists. We'll be locked up or punished here and there, made examples of, made out to be like we're a bunch of kooks and stuff like that. And then it goes on and starts all over again. So until the people get the guts to stand up and fight, we have nothing but a socialist government. Communist, whatever you want to call it. But yeah. But that's my two cents.
But Kelly, do you want to add anything more of that? And kind of shifting gears a little bit, we are within the second hour, is, you know, but Kelly, if you want to add anything on that for, you know, kind of shift gears to something that, you know, I'm kind of concerned about lately. With what's been going on with the Supreme Court.
Well, the gentleman's just talking about socialists. And, hey, look, if your ideas are so good, then just be upright, right out in the open, and people will adopt your ideas. Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals, and in that book he said, the ends justify the means, which means lie, cheat, steal, cover up, whatever it takes to get into power for socialism. And that is such an opposite of Christianity, because, you know, what Jesus said in the verdict, this then is the verdict. He's talking to Nicodemus. This is in John 3. This then is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men hated the light because their deeds were evil, and they would not come into the light for fear that their evil deeds would be exposed. But whoever does what is right comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done under the eyes of God. That is the verdict. And you see the contrast with the ends justify the means versus Christianity, which is a lot of the conservatives in politics go, obviously, towards the Republicans. And, yes, there are good Democrat congressmen. There are. But who is leading this? And it's just frustrating. So, again, if socialist policies are so wonderful, then they should be able to take the country by storm, right? If they're doing it openly and honestly, though, people don't like socialism, these clandestine techniques.
Now, again, switching gears here, one of the things that you've probably heard recently in the news is about Justice Clarence Thomas being hospitalized for an infection, and now they're saying how, he missed three days of oral arguments and after being hospitalized. Now, I've speculated, and it's purely speculation that, I don't trust this. It would not surprise, you're already seeing the people on the left hoping he dies. I mean, the left is so disgusting. Liberals are so disgusting. It's unbelievable. You know, they are. They're like, they're trying to rush for this guy, hoping he dies from an infection so that we can have another, liberal judge on the Supreme Court. Which I find it interesting. You know what? I think what the Republicans should do, if something were to happen to them, they get another liberal judge once making the Supreme Court, liberal again, which it really hasn't been that much better anyway, in my opinion, lately. But maybe the Republicans should start talking about packing the courts and see how the Democrats like it. But that's it. Yeah, they are these. I fear for his life because, I mean, I distrust this government so much that I can see them doing something to Clarence Thomas so that, Biden could put another uber liberal, on the bench. I mean, what's going to be the criteria now? Let's say, well, the one that's, going through the nomination process now, well, she had, it had to be a female, a black female. I mean, what's the next one? Oh, my God. You know what? I guess the next person he's going to have to make sure put on the bench is put a transgender, person on, regardless of their skills or how many times their rulings have been overturned.
Exactly what it'll be, trans or gay person of color.
I tell you what, if something happens to Clarence Thomas, we're in trouble. I mean, the nation's already in trouble. I mean, and I think that's why they tried so hard to steal the election, the way that they did, because you get another liberal justice on there, and I mean they'll just give up, they'll give up our rights, that's for certain.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, think about it. Seriously, look at the timing of it. Look at the timing of him coming sick. I mean, I don't trust, ever since what happened with COVID, I've lost a lot of trust in our federal government. I really do.
It was like when Trump was saying on the State of the Union. He brought it up for a reason. It wasn't just off the cuff. He was telling everybody, as long as I'm president, America will not be a socialist nation. And you could see the reaction on Pelosi's face and Schumer and all the other ones, because that's what they're shooting for, because they want to keep their money and their power and to keep the rest of us as their slaves. You know, that's what it is. And they're going to silence whoever they have to. Somebody will get the wrong drug in their medical treatment, like that guy you're talking about, and next thing you know, they're dead. And, you know, look, everybody knows Epstein didn't kill himself. You know, he made a threat. He was going to expose a lot of government people, and he got in the way, and he didn't have enough behind him to keep him safe. So I wouldn't doubt that other guy you're talking about in the hospital, something's going to happen there too.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's awful. You know, it would be awful telling if he was a Democrat, and Clarence Thomas, if he was a Democrat, and you had all these people, you know, wishing ill on him, you know what they'd all be called? They'd all be called, oh, but you're a racist. You must be a racist, you know. It's just ridiculous. I do have a true concern. I mean, because frankly, I mean, I think, what was the judge that recently passed away? Wait a minute. Before I go, Kelly does have an update on the trucker convoy. And we had a gentleman a couple of weeks ago reporting on that. So go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, Joel came on a couple of weeks ago. He's there filming in D.C. And they had a meeting with a congressman named Louis Correa. He's out of Southern California. And this congressman, Democrat, he was listening to the concerns. A lady presented that, hey, my daughter was 19. She took the shot. Now she's almost crippled. She couldn't even move her fingers. Another guy, he was working two hours a day, 5 days a week, and he got a shot. So he's expressing this to Mr. Correa, Congressman Correa, and he was listening. It was really encouraging. And then they had a doctor explaining pressure from the medical boards, and this congressman was actually listening. So I'm starting to read some of the comments down below as I'm listening to this, I would say, 40-plus minute interview. And, yes, he was listening, but one of the comments was, I am shocked at how clueless this guy is. He's out of touch with what's really going on, and he started defending vaccines to some degrees. And this congressman said, well, what are the majority of the doctors saying? Oh, they're safe, and then the doctor that basically couldn't keep his job because he wasn't vaccinated, he said they're pressured to keep their jobs. They're pressured to do this. They're pressured to do that. And pharmacists are getting in the way of the doctor-patient relationship. There's all sorts of really strange stuff going on here. And the doctors that are against the COVID shots and the mandates, they're quite researched. And not really getting funded, even losing their jobs. And I could see the congressman was listening, and he was wanting more information from people, and give your phone number to my aide, and so you can get me more information about this. So that was encouraging, but what's discouraging is how our elected officials just, what do they spend their time on? How to get reelected? I mean, so who knows how many congressmen are going to become awake. Jim Jordan out of Ohio, of course, Robert, you're in Ohio, you know that. He has vowed to investigate COVID, and that would, of course, take the Republicans taking the House. They're vowing to take the House and the Senate, and then they're going to investigate COVID. Well, that would be really good if they do and expose a lot of things that a lot of people that are studying this have figured out. What's frustrating is how slow government moves, though. So anyway, I just, you know, what's your thoughts on all that, Robert?
Well, first, let's go ahead. You know, you do know I like to bring things over to our you know, callers first. So let's go ahead and bring Bill in to the roundtable first. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, like I said, with the COVID thing, I know I'll never take it. I mean, they'll have to lock me up or shoot me. And they keep – what got me was they claim, oh, well, you know, first they would come out with this, oh, it's 100% safe and 100% effective. Well, then they start having people who got exposed that were dying. And the one, like I said, there was a Christian video we watched where the lady's daughter, who was in perfect health, and now she's almost an invalid. And it's just like they're so stupid about it that if I stuck 100 guns on a table and one of them has a bullet, and I say, okay, there you go. Okay, you have to pick one of those guns and pull the, you know, put it to your head and pull the trigger. That's how I look at it. It's like I'm taking a chance of being the one person that would negatively react to that and get the blood clots or get, you know, the adverse effects and dies. But then, and I've seen it at my work, around, you know, family and other people. If you don't take the shot, you're being really selfish and rude, and you're a horrible person, and you're not a Christian, and you're trying to expose us, and you're trying to kill us. So then they make us out to be like we're biological terrorists, basically. So this all ties back in and with the government and their greed. And what I'd like to know is when COVID was first coming out, and I can't find the video now. I've looked, but they were talking about how COVID, America had the patent on COVID. And because we all know biological warfare is true, it's real, it's been done, it's still being done. And during the Obama administration with good old Uncle Joe being vice president, they were supposed to destroy the virus as part of the War Treaty Act with our ever-beloved Russia. And then Obama, not to get too deep into the religious aspect of it, but Obama is in fact not a Christian. He's a Muslim. And their beliefs are we are the enemy, and he wants to take the world over. And if he could win the world over for Allah, he becomes the new Messiah of Islam. And that ties in with all this crap too. I mean, what was funny during that time, that's when Obama and Fauci did visit the Wuhan lab, and they put up a different picture online of a different lab that they went to, and they're like, oh, but see, that's wrong. All you conspiracy people are nuts because that's not the lab. That's not Wuhan lab. But they did go to Wuhan lab, and the next thing you know, they donate $8 million to the lab. What's up with that? You know, are they trying to do the ever-popular, cut the population thing? Less population means more money for the filthy rich. Back to the greed and the money. Where do we go? You know, I think the whole world system is breaking down, and we're back to all the upper-up people, the Pelosi's and Schumer's and the big politicians who are so corrupted with money and greed, they don't want to let off their money, and they're not going to stop at anything, including killing people, which is exactly what's going on. People are getting killed over their greed, and we have to ride this roller coaster, and I'm not sure if we can get off of it. And, you know, in my book, There's only one person that can solve this whole thing, and he's not coming back for a little bit yet. So, and when he does come back, there's going to be a lot of heads rolling. But like I said, I don't want to go too deep into the religious aspect, but that it's so deep and so evil and so greedy that all the righteous people, all the people who try to stand up for what's right, is being made out to be the evil people, just like the Bible says. and it's so deep and so bad and corrupt, God's the only one who can come back, you know, send his son back to change things. And, you know, for the people who don't believe in God, I feel sorry for them, but, you know, it's going to boil down to that. We're that deep into it, and no one else, none of us all get together. It doesn't matter. They just kill us all off. So we have to ride this roller coaster and pray and hope for the best.
Well, I mean, a couple of things with COVID. I mean, I'll never take the vaccine either. And I wonder how many people are having, you know, vaccine remorse because they're like, man, I took this vaccine. I mean, they might not, you know, especially, you know, later on. I mean, I can see later on a lot of, you know, commercials, you know, 20 years from now. If you took the COVID-19 and you had this and this and that happen, then call us at Elk and Elk and you can – you know, call our lawyers for the class action lawsuit or something of that nature. But anyway, I'm not vaccinated. My family's not vaccinated. We're not going to. I think it's proving out that it was bunk anyway for a number of reasons. I mean, and then the, even worse, to try to force people into taking it. I mean, I equate that to medical rape. I mean, think about it. I mean, you're violating someone's body by penetrating them, injecting, you know, chemicals and cells into their bodies without their consent. Now, if that's not a description of rape, I don't know what is. So that's how I view, you know, and then you got, you know, the COVID vaccine, and then you've got, you know, groups like here in Ohio trying to get a ballot initiative for what's, you know, for House Bill, something like House Bill 248, which is to keep businesses and the government from, you know, discriminating against people who didn't have the vaccine or forcing them into it or, you know, by threatening their employment by not taking out this, you know, by not taking this vaccine. And then you have a Republican, you know, attorney general in Yost continually turning down the signatures and turning down the petition to get it on the ballot. Frankly, until the time runs out where you can't get it on the ballot. I you know, it's like, here's a Republican attorney general. And the thing is that the only way to combat these people, at least, you know, until the, you know, the time Bill's talked about, you know, whenever, if ever that happens, is that it's going to be up to us. I mean, I think we can do it, but I think we need to, you know, I think more people are waking up, and I think we need to get to it. I think we need to adopt some of the tactics of the left. I mean, we need to get into the streets en masse. I mean, we really do. And I've mentioned this on other shows. I mean, look at where, you know, they've positioned themselves. I mean, they position themselves to be the, you know, positions of influence, the media, academia, entertainment. You know, that's where, you know, social work. I mean, that is where the liberals are finding themselves. Now, you know, conservatives, we're the cause of the nation. You know, we're the workers. We're what keeps the country running. But you have the liberals who are the ones who are the, you know, the mind influencers, the ones who control the information. And we really need to find ways to expose, you know, what these people are doing, you know. I mean, just look what they're doing. you've got here in Ohio, you have AT&T and Cincinnati Bell, you know, dropping Newsmax, you know, because they don't want their point of view out there. And then you have DirecTV, where they're dropping One American News. And my thing to that is, well, you know what? You drop them, we're dropping you. And that's exactly what me and my family did. We don't have AT&T or Cincinnati Bell anymore. We dropped them as our internet provider. We dropped DirecTV, which we had DirecTV for 24 years. But we dropped DirecTV saying, look, you know, we're going to go with someone else because, you know, you drop One American News, we're dropping you. Now, we don't have as many channels available to us. And, you know, the user-friendliness of who we got now isn't as nice. But, it, you know, it's worth it because, I mean, we got to start standing on principle. And so that's what we, you know, we're going to have to do more of. And, I mean, you know, and that's what they do. We need to, you know, community organize the way the Democrats. I'm, you know, I'm running for precinct executive in our precinct, and I was, you know, looking up some things on that online, and you had all kinds of sites you could go to, like, oh, become a precinct executive for the Democrat Party, and, you know, I mean, it was all, you know, Democrat grassroots, and the Republicans aren't that, you know, need to get better with the grassroots. And I do see other callers on the line. If you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, and I'll get you in. And for those who are listening from the link or on one of the other platforms that you can hear the show, give us a call at 347-945-7428, and we'll get you into the show if you'd like to, you know, participate. But anyway, so, I mean, we need to adopt some of their tactics in order for us to be successful. And again, you know, if something happens to Clarence Thomas, you know, well, again, you know, somebody who needs to keep a sharp eye on him, then maybe the Republicans should start, maybe, you know, again, and stack the courts. And I've never, speaking of the courts, and Kelly, I want to bring this question to you, is that, I mean, I don't believe in a 9 court. I think it should be 10 and 10. I really do. I think the fairest way to have the court, the law, you know, is to have an even number, you know, 10 or 12. Let's say 12, right? Let's say 12, and then have it split down the line. You have, you know, 6 liberals and you have 6 conservatives. I mean, I think that would be the best way. I mean, because they're supposed to interpret the law fairly, right? The Constitution. So I think having like a 12, you know, 12 justices and saying, look, you know, you have to keep it status quo, you know, where it's 6, you know, what would be 6 conservatives and 6 liberals on the court. Because, I mean, having this, you know, one view, you know, dominates for a while, and then the other view, I just don't think that does anything good for America. Well, what do you think, Chip? What do you think, Kelly?
Well, odd number is always good for a tiebreaker. That makes, you know, structurally it's set up that way. The Supreme Court wasn't
always
9 justices.
Well, I know, but I don't
think
that does very good. We're so partisan right now. You know, I mean, just wait, you know, just with the swing of the pendulum. But go ahead.
I think our country started out with, I want to say, I think it was 5 Supreme Court justices, and then FDR, he kept stacking the court. That's how we ended up with 9. And that's why the 27th Amendment, where 2-term president, a constitutional amendment, that's where it came from, because FDR was stacking the Supreme Court. And so Congress responded, no, we ain't doing that. And there are some surprises with the Supreme Court.
But that's what I'm saying. If you have an even number and you have the same amount of liberals and if you have to have the same amount of liberals and have to have the same amount of conservatives, then it doesn't matter if you stack the court, because you can put, you know, 50 judges on there, but the makeup of the court is still going to be the same. So I would think that would alleviate any desire to try to stack the court, because it wouldn't make any difference.
Well, that would have to be in the Constitution that, you know, it would have to be in the Constitution. It's not. So the liberals pick their liberal justices and the conservatives pick theirs. And what's encouraging is sometimes, actually many times over the years, the left and the right do get together and agree on certain things of freedom and liberty. They really do. But then there's, you know, so... Recently, I'd have to dig into that one. Let's see. Sessions versus DeMeo was a surprise, but that was a 5-4. The new justice, what was his name? He was a surprise to everybody, but it wasn't about – see, in DeMeo, people wanted him deported. They wanted him deported, but the Supreme Court said, no, there's bigger issues here. The issue of clarity in the law was unclear, And so they did not deport him, but that was a good case precedence. Gorsuch was the swing vote on that one. But the Democrats were along with him saying, yeah, you can't have arbitrary laws, because once you have an arbitrary law that leaves the police open to interpretation, the law enforcement has to figure out how this is to be enforced or not. What's the meaning of this law? And then the courts, they have to struggle with what did this law mean also. So the ruling there with the left and Gorsuch getting together was, we need clear, specific laws. And even Gorsuch wrote that one of the reasons why we left Great Britain in 1776 is because the laws were arbitrary, which resulted in oppression. William O. Douglas, he was 60s and 70s. He wrote some very good things about liberty and freedom as well, except he was a liberal. And I think Souter replaced him. But anyway, and I've said this a number of times, without the Supreme Court, we probably would have lost our country by now. And if you read Supreme Court cases, it gets absolutely fascinating at the reasoning and the logic and what they're thinking. And then you will have dissenting opinions. And those get real interesting, too. For example, in U.S. versus Williams, it was a 6-3 on exculpatory evidence, and they affirmed the grand jury's independence, but that was a 6-3. In the dissenting opinion, you see some of the left, they were saying, oh, no, the grand jury has always been part of the courts, and that's not true. They were misinformed. And so you're looking at dissenting opinions on different court cases. It's absolutely fascinating. And how much did the Supreme Court listen to each other? I don't know. But Trump did appoint, I think it was 200 federal judges, the most of any president in our nation's history. Trump's more of a populist than he is a conservative. He appeals to the conservative vote, obviously. He might have some conservative views, but it'll be interesting to see how the courts are going to operate in the next 5, 10 years, even 20 years, because these 200 judges, some of them are one or two, maybe three, may end up on the United States Supreme Court. Are they going to be fair, balanced, and objective, the rule of law, the Constitution, and liberties, or are they going to have an agenda? I think Trump made sure that some of these didn't have agendas. A number of them were not having political agendas or legislation from the bench. So I guess we're just going to have to see. By the way, I got a funny I can read to you if you want to get some comments from others, but I got a funny from the Babylon Bee if you want to hear it.
Oh yeah, certainly. Yeah, and Bill's call dropped. He may call back in, but we'll see. Go ahead.
All right, this is Babylon Bee, which, as you know, they're complete satire. The stuff they write is so ridiculously unfactual. They make it that way so you realize, oh, we're just teasing, we're goofing around, this is a spoof. So this is just in yesterday. Exclusive, the Babylon Bee has obtained copies of Hunter Biden's Google search history. United States, Hunter Biden's laptop has been validated by major news sources. And the Babylon Bee has secured an exclusive look at the Google search history therein. Our team of Bee experts has been analyzing the search history for a couple of minutes, and we are now ready to share the less horrifying ones with the world. These are quote-unquote searches. All right, find old laptop. Where is Margaritaville? What does a board of directors do? What is oil? Hunter Biden, a Star Wars story. There will be blood cliff notes. Barisma, barista difference. how much cocaine is too much cocaine? How much cocaine is too much cocaine? That's kind of a joke. didn't spell very well. Are Twinkies from frosting inside of them? What is Obama's last name? Can you get in trouble for taking bribes? Interstate ending explained. Interstellar. Interstellar ending explained on Reddit. I don't know what that is. How to find multiple lost laptops. Can you... President's son, average salary. Epstein Island flights plus Southwest Airlines. How to tell if someone you know has dementia. Hey, Siri, find my old laptop. All right. Anyway, there's a bunch more. Why am I in a bathtub? Okay. If you sleep... Is the food good in jail? Laptop repair near me. Okay, enough of that. But it's just kind of cute. If you watch Babylon, if you want to laugh, you can just look up Babylon B, and their stories are just funny.
Yeah, they do have some. They do have some funny. They do have some funny articles there.
You know they got kicked off of Twitter, don't you?
What's that?
Babylon B got kicked off Twitter.
Oh, really? Are you serious?
They named somebody as Man of the Year when they're Babylon B calls this person Man of the Year when they because they express themselves as a woman. Richard Laskin, is that right? Who now goes by the name of Rachel? But Babylon B's Man of the Year, and Twitter got all upset about that, and it was actually respectful of him, but dude looks like a lady, and so Twitter said, oh, we're done, Babylon B, you can't be on our Twitter anymore, because you said Man of the Year when he's identifying himself as a woman. That's just so whacked out.
Well, I tell you what, we just kind of looking over this article I got here for, this was posted today. I mean, how much are you following, Kelly, the different trials and things of January 6th? Now, I'll be honest, for the most part, I really haven't been following a lot of it, because, frankly, I know it's BS. And it just angers me to no end, especially with them trying to, call it an insurrection when we know it's not. And I found it interesting that, one of the arguments for us to say it wasn't an insurrection, no one's even been charged with sedition. And then shortly after, we start making those complaints and people start getting charged. Now, I don't know if anyone's been convicted of sedition yet, but then they start actually charging people for it. So, I think they got wind that people, knew it was BS, and then said, oh, okay, well, we got to charge the people with sedition just to make it look like this is legitimate.
So you have a narrative. The left says, control the narrative. People that are libertarians like me, we don't like that word control, but they'll say it. They'll preach it. They'll teach it. Control the narrative. Really? Interesting. So, yeah, they had a narrative. They had, and I've seen the effect with liberals. Oh, it was treason. It's sedition. And oh, that's right. They tried to impeach Trump again, from that. It's mind-blowing to the limits that they'll go to. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, they know, as I think Bill pointed out earlier, that, I mean, they know in 2022 that he said their goose is cooked. I just can't imagine how much, frankly, cheating and chicanery that they would have to come up with to just not be, as I said, I think it's going to be a red reckoning, in November. I mean, they would have to do some massive amounts of cheating. Of course, some are saying that they're going to try to bring lockdowns back so they could get the drop boxes again around election time. But, I mean, if that were to happen, though, I mean, would that not be so transparent that people would be like, okay, we know this is BS, if they try to do that, in the fall, like, oh, well, we got another strain of COVID coming, so now we got to shut things down, and we got this election. I mean, for one, I think people are going to be like, okay, this is BS. And then two, I think it'll bring people back around and say, well, wait a minute. How come this stuff keeps happening around elections? You know what I mean? So, I think they're getting desperate. But you know what they say about a desperate animal once it's cornered. That's why I think, they're going after people like our guest tonight.
Well, yeah.
He's one of the lucky ones. I mean, he was able to get, he only spent a short period of time in jail. There's still people in there.
Yeah, I've heard about that, and that's got to be frustrating, post-bail or whatever. Oh, boy. Hey, I got to knock off it a little before 7. I thought I'd let you know about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. We were thinking about doing an abbreviated session tonight anyway, because as I stated earlier, I am running for a precinct executive, and so this may be something that's more common to do an abbreviated version until then, because I'll be working on my campaign. here until the primary in May, we may see, some shortened versions of the show. So we only got 12 minutes left. And so let's go ahead and, since you got knocked off, we'll do some closing comments, and then we'll go from there.
You want me to start closing, or you're okay?
Yeah, go ahead and do your closing comments, right.
Well, we got to keep trying. I want to hear more about the precinct strategy on your show, another day, of course. But you got a list of from the Republic, who is a Republican in your precinct, and then you basically go knocking on doors or calling people. Pretty much your strategy.
Well, most people with the precinct, they are. They run pretty much unopposed because you just have a small area that you're really running. It's not at least in my locality, it's not a large area. So, there's a lot of times when, someone goes unopposed, okay? But not in my case. This is my first time running, and I'm actually running against a well-known person in this area. They just happen to live in my precinct. because they have such, well, not even the candidate, the candidate's husband, well, and the candidate too does. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from the candidate, but their husband also has even more name recognition than that person does, than she does. So, I'm going to have to, work harder, to get my name and I guess my face out, because now I've had pictures taken, which I don't like doing that. But I had my picture taken so we can, for flyers and door hangers and things of that nature. There's a few events that I'm working on going to. I've been actually making some calls for some endorsements, sent out some emails. I haven't heard from the emails yet. That's one of the things I want to work on. I'm hoping to get a questionnaire from an organization and be put on their ballot list.
That's really cool because the county convention is composed of the precinct chairs or precinct captains, and then they decide endorsements, and then they send people to the district convention and then the state convention eventually. Michigan had quite success in liberty-minded people went and signed up as Republicans, and even the, the chair of the Republican, this is many years ago, I think it was 2012 or 14, but the Republican chair of the Michigan Party, he did not win because of this. He got replaced. So it's quite fascinating. The good old boys get out because the precinct strategy is used. It's one of the greatest political strategies there is. People just don't know about it. So anyway, I wish our public schools would educate people on the necessity of a good government and what the people can do instead of just taking it. That's for another day. Yeah, so let's see. We talked. All right, so kind of a quick summary. I like that guest that you brought on. He explained what he saw. He observed something smells fishy about January 6th. We got an agenda that's being pumped out. We got people who don't like socialism. And I hope the American people can continue to become educated. I'm seeing an awful lot of people learning like they hadn't before. I hope a lot of people to start voting at least, register to vote. There you go. And we'll just see where the Red Reckoning. I think that's the first. I think here on your show, Robert, is the first place I've ever heard the Red Reckoning.
Maybe they said it before. I've dubbed that. That comes from me.
Okay, that's an original. The Red Reckoning.
Yeah, I call it.
Yeah, so I want to.
Well, you know, a lot of people. Yeah, so I get, you hear the red wave, so.
Okay, so the Red Reckoning because of the blue blundering?
People call it the red wave, but I mean, I'm saying it's going to be a reckoning come, you know. I like the movie Tombstone. He's like, oh, it's a reckoning, so I kind of took it from that, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, I want to hear your thoughts, and then I'm ready to call the night.
Well, I'm speaking with Stuart Battle. He's from the LaRouche organization. I'm first seeing if he's got any type of updates that he wanted to share. Let's see. Well, yeah, so I'm still working on, you know, getting some, you know, of course, some folks we're looking at getting on, you know, the gentleman from the Blaze, still, we're reaching out to some candidates. Now, I have been, to be honest, I have been busy working on, you know, things for my campaign. So, unfortunately, that is taking some things away, you know, from times here. But, you know, there's only so many times of the day because, I mean, this isn't my day job. I mean, I still have to work the you know, to make a living. So we could do, so there's only so many times in the day. And unfortunately, I got to sleep, which I haven't been doing much of that lately. But anyway, that's some of the things we're working on. That's what I've been working on. So we'll keep, folks updated, and then we will go from there. Just still waiting to hear back from Stuart to see if he'd like us to go into what we lovingly call Bard's Logic After Dark to see if he's got any updates. I know one of the things that he's been following on and sending me some reports on, and you know, I've been reading, is, of course, what's going on over in Ukraine. So don't really know exactly. It's kind of a tough tough call. I mean, you hate to see what's going over there. I mean, I still feel that, Russia, I don't know if there was a provocation or not, Russia going into Ukraine, and I'm not going to put it the way that Harris did, like, oh, well, the big country is attacking a little country, and that's wrong. So didn't want to do that. But, I mean, I do still think that, Russia is the aggressor here because, I mean, they did. Okay. So, yeah, so we won't be having Stuart Heath, but we're all busy. I think we're all busier than we ever have been. But anyway, so, yeah, we'll do an abbreviated version. I'm hoping to have that questionnaire so that I can work on that this evening because there is a deadline. That I got to get that in. But certainly glad to hear from you again, Kelly, and for all those who called in, listened to the show. Definitely share the podcast with other folks, and we'll see everyone next week. Looking forward to that. And we will just, you know, move forward from there. Definitely got, you know, a group of people I've been working with for the campaign, and then also working on, you know, getting onto the program. But, yeah, let's watch for things. And if there's anybody you want to get on, Kelly, of course, you're welcome to do so as well. And we will, you know, certainly get them onto the program. This is going to be in June, our 10th year, if you can believe that. You know, been on the air for 10 years. So, you know, I'm waiting to get the timing right to start, you know, getting folks together from, you know, way back when we first on the show. I did reach out to some, but of course, when, you know, when it's been years since you've talked to somebody, it's not always like, remember when we had, he's the author of Nazi Oats, Mark Musser. We've had him on the show, been reaching out to him. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, get him on as well. But anyway, I'm going to close things out, and I will end tonight as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. And you can hear, well, she don't do her music anymore. She's actually doing art. That's right. But we'll see you next time, folks. Just put some good, you know, thoughts and prayers up for me so I can get this campaign going, because, you know, I'm certainly got an uphill battle with that. So take care, folks. We will see you next time, and have a good night.
Good night.